Anybody here that's never prayed? I've met some folks who never prayed. I remember years ago I visited a gentleman in the hospital. Led him to the Lord and he said, I don't know how to pray. He had never prayed. How do you do that? And so we had a good long discussion on how to pray. We've been preaching about Jesus. You can never exhaust him. You can never, ever tell everything about Jesus. We have gotten to his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know whether it took him as long to preach that sermon as it is me. I've been on it now for a few months. But it's packed. And he took on all subjects. And I think in this world in which we live today, we need to hear about what Jesus thought. We hear so much about this preacher and that preacher and the other preacher and this book and that book. I had a professor in college, Dr. R. Hollis Gause, professor of theology. And he made a statement one time. I don't remember a whole lot of everything he said, but he made a statement one time. He said, too many are students of commentaries than students of the Word. But the words of Jesus are vital to our lives. Don't be worried about buying the newest book by preacher so-and-so. Be more worried about hearing what Jesus has to say. And we've looked at a lot of his subjects. We're just coming right down the line. And today he tackles prayer. And in this message this morning, he's interested in the motive. What is your motive for praying? Listen to the word. Matthew 6. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Holy Spirit, we need your presence. None of us can ever preach a message or hear a message unless we are attuned through the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and touch these feeble lips of clay. And this mind will be quickened by your presence, will be able to give forth the words of Jesus and the meaning of what he was saying. Lord, quicken the ears and the hearts of your people to be receptive to the Word of God, that it'll become a part of their life and be instilled in their hearts, that as they walk the pathway of journey, they will be fulfilling your words through the way they live. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. This passage is speaking to those who pray. People who take prayer seriously. Not those who say, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Nothing wrong with that. But so many times it just becomes repetitious and it's remote. Prayer is one of the greatest acts of the Christian believer. There's a lot of them: teaching, witnessing, singing praises, a lot of different acts that we do, believing God, as Vicki has testified. But prayer is one of the greatest. Talking to God, whether it's through our thoughts or actually using our tongue to speak aloud. That's the way we as Christians fellowship with God. I don't know about you, but I like fellowship. I like to be in the ship with fellows that I like. It'd be awfully hard to walk life with fellows you don't like and you don't want to ship with. Fellowship is also important with the Father, our God. By the way, when I talk about the Father, I'm talking about the Heavenly Father, the one who is the example of what all earthly fathers ought to be. Not all of them are like Him, but He sets the example. Talking to God. Having fellowship, desiring to have communion with God. So it's essential that we pray, and that we pray often, sharing with God all day long. I don't know about you, but I like to talk to Him all the time. Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray all day long. But to Jesus, His concern is this point: how we pray. A lot of people pray. I remember I was up in Hanging Rock Road, back of Blair's Valley, up in there in the boondocks, and I was sitting in this old house with a gentleman who was way up in his 80s, heading close to 90, and he never went to church. I got him to come to church one time. I was pastoring on the Eastern Shore, and there was a fella in the community that raised purebred coon dogs. And Ken Mills was a coon hunter. And he heard me talking about this guy down there that had these prize national champion coon dogs, blue ticks. And so down he comes. I said, you can come on one, I'll get you a coon hunt on one occasion that you come to church. And so after we walked through the swamps of the Eastern Shore, our boots coming off of our feet in the swamps, chasing coons, he came to church. Had him in church. But I was sitting in his house. I was talking to him about God. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, I went out on the back porch a few weeks ago and I was sick. And I looked up at the stars in the heaven and I said, 'God, if you heal me, I'll serve you.'" Wow! Can you actually said that? Yes, indeed. And I meant it. God healed him. And when he died and I preached his funeral, I was able to tell that congregation of people he had a talk with God. Communion. Hallelujah. Prayer.
Praise the Lord.
It was how he did it. He did it on his back porch. He and God by himself looking at the stars, and he made contact.
Hallelujah.
With Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
And that's what Jesus is concerned about here. When we pray, how we pray, how we go about it. One of his biggest concerns was the motive. What's driving us to prayer? There's two preliminary things that we need to look at before discussing this point. And number one is praying, even loving to pray, is not a sign that a person really knows God. A lot of people pray, but there's a lot of people that don't know God. I stood in Mexico, outside of Mexico City, on the top of a pyramid at the altar of the Aztec Indians, where they stood and they prayed to God and offered their sacrifice. And they took a young girl, a young teenage girl, and while she is living, she was dedicated by the priest for sacrifice. He opened her chest, took her heart out, and held it up to God while it was beating, and prayed to their God. He was just saying words. Offering a useless sacrifice. I went into Mexico City. There, a great big cathedral that had been built and its spires pointing up toward God. I watched people who had crawled for miles, hundreds of miles, on their hands and knees till the blood was coming out of their hands and knees, and they would crawl up the steps. We could stand there and watch them crawl up the steps, crawl to the door and down the aisle to pray to a picture of a saint. And believe that when they said those words to that saint, to that picture of a saint, that they were going to be healed. I walked down that aisle, walked around past that picture, looked at it, went over to the wall to a statue of a Virgin Mary made out of marble, who these people would then go by and by the brush of their lips kiss her feet until her feet were almost gone by just the brush of people's lips, kissing her feet, expecting her to bless them in their prayers. Well, Jesus said here about repetition. Those people would take a thing called a rosary. They make the sign of the cross. They say the Apostles' Creed, and then they pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Then they have to pray three times, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Three times they have to say that. Then they pray the glory be to the God the Father. They announce the first mystery, then pray again the Our Father. Now after that they have to pray 10 times, "Mary of God, Hail Mary." Then they pray again the glory to the Father, announce the second mystery, then pray the Father, Our Father prayer again, and repeat number 6 and 7 all over again. I'm telling you what, by the time I'd be finished, I would be... Vain repetitions. No real meaning. Jesus is concerned about the motive. Why are you praying? I stood in China in a Buddhist temple before their big statues, ugly looking creatures. Looked like they would eat you alive and spit you out. And these Buddhists, these people, they were out in the courtyard first with all kinds of incense, and they were burning it, and the smoke was going up before their Buddhist god and their Buddhist idol. Then inside of the temple they came in, and there were rows, and I watched people, 80s, old, coming in. They didn't sit down. They knelt down on those low kneelers, and they would stay there for long periods of time praying to Buddha. I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, the Supreme Shangri-La, until I attain enlightenment. By the merit I accumulate from practicing generosity and the other perfections. May I attain enlightenment in order to benefit all living beings. May all beings have happiness and its causes. May all beings be freed from suffering and its causes. May all beings consistently dwell in joy, transcending sorrow. May all beings dwell in equal love with those who close and distant. On and on they go in praying their prayers. Very sincere in their hearts. I watch them praying to their icons. I watch them praying to their statues. I watch them as they offered fruits to Buddha. I never saw Buddha pick up an orange. They had to come in after a while when it started to rot and take it away. Let me tell you what, you bring me fruit, I'll eat it. Not only is it Catholics, not only is it Buddhists, there's a lot of Christians who pray prayers who are nothing but repetitions. The second primary thing that we need to look at, the fact that a person really knows God means that he does pray. If you have an experience with Jesus Christ, you want to talk to Him. You want to commune with Him. You want to communicate. What does the Bible say about Jesus? He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He sits by the Father making what? Intercession for you and I. Oh, what a privilege we have that we can go into the very Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And we can speak with Jesus, our Master, King of kings and Lord of lords. We can talk with Him. What's the matter with these people who say they know Jesus, but they never talk to Him? They never commune with Him. Jesus is concerned about that. No matter what a man may think in his mind, if he really knows God, if he really believes in God, he talks to God. There is nothing that can keep him from praying. There's nothing. He knows God personally. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that are married, if you come home to your spouse and you never say anything to them, what kind of a message are you giving? I don't want to talk to you. Now, I've heard of some that they get in a fuss with each other and won't talk to each other for several days. I'm sure there's nobody in here that does that. Then there's the other bunch, they talk, but it's at the top of their voice. And they're saying things that's not nice to say. Hello? If you're married to somebody, you want to try to make home a nice place to be, don't you? You want to come in and say, "Honey, how was your day today? Oh, you're so pretty." I tell you what, if you were 17 again, I'd marry you all over. You know what you just said there? I wouldn't marry you as you are now, but if you were 17, I'd marry you again. Yes, Shannon.
You know, they say, we're talking about praying, right?
Yeah.
You know, the family that prays together and goes to church, they're the family that makes it through anything. It doesn't matter what it is. They're the family that makes it through all trials and tribulations. You have to have a godly house in order to make it work.
You just, I've cut that point out of my message there. You just preached. You want to talk to the one that you know. And that's our Jesus. And that's very important. You want to have a relationship with Him. You are His child. He is your Father. Now we get to this. Christ says that a man who prays to be seen of men loves to pray, but he is a hypocrite. Do you ever realize that hypocrites pray? Oh, wow. You know what a hypocrite is? It comes from the old English word and Latin word, actor. Putting on an act. That's the hypocrite. Coming to church, all dressed up, looking nice, and boy, you've lived a perfect life all week long. And you're a rotten dog on the inside. Amen? Huh? No, you come all looking pretty and everything, but guess who's living inside? The old boy. That's a hypocrite. And Jesus just said, the hypocrite loves to pray. But where does he love to pray? In church and on the street. In other words, he loves to pray where he can be seen. He vocalizes his praise and everything to God. And he prays in public, and he likes to pray at the meals of the family prayers, and when he's called on in church. Now everybody listen while I talk to God. Oh God, our heavenly... Oh, cut it out. Jesus called him a hypocrite because he's not really wanting to talk to God. He's wanting to be oratorical and be able to impress us about how good he can pray. Usually, if you check his background, he doesn't pray in private. Only in public. Jesus saw these guys walking around Jerusalem in their long robes and their phylacteries and everything that they had on, their religious garb. And boy, they loved to stand on the street corner where everybody could hear and pray their sermonic prayers, only to be heard and impress people. Jesus said, that's hypocritical. Now, it's all right to pray in public. We need to pray in public. But when we pray in public, we need to be mindful we're talking to God. And we need a message that is delivered to God in behalf of the people. When we pray for the offering, we need to be talking to God and telling God, these people were about to give their money to the kingdom of God. We really appreciate you, God. We're thankful for the blessings you've given to us. And with this money, we want to honor you and give you glory. That's what it's about. Talking to Him, getting a message to God. And so, Maddie, I'm just messing you all up on those slides back there. I'm just jumping all around here. It better be. We got the message. Luke or Mark chapter 11 verse 20-25. You notice what Jesus says there. Whenever you stand praying, Jesus said here in this passage of Scripture, He likes to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. So there was something about these hypocrites when they prayed. They were standing. That was their posture. It was as if they were supreme, lifted up. Now there's nothing wrong with standing and praying. In Mark 11:25, Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So Jesus, there was a proper way to stand and pray. But here again, it's with the right motive, not the wrong motive. Two lessons. The sin is not failing to pray. The sin is praying only in church and in public for attention. Do you get that?
Yes.
Public praying needs to be done. But it needs to be done as a communion with God. And usually if you're praying in public, you're talking for everyone. To God. You're sending a message for the whole congregation up to God. And it's about us all telling God what we love and want and do. When we stand and pray for the sick, it's as if the whole congregation is praying through one person. And whoever is praying publicly needs to really focus in on, we want to get this message to you, O God. It's not about who's doing the praying, but how. Now the right motive. praying to be heard by God. That's what Jesus says. We need to look at three things here. The willingness to take time to pray. Jesus said, when you pray. When do you pray?
All the time.
When do you talk to God? The Bible said, pray without ceasing. So that means you're in a mental attitude of communing with God. And it's all right at times to think your prayer. Many times I've gone to the hospital, and especially in the emergency room, and someone is comatose or they've been in an accident and they're not responding. When I go, I get down next to their ear and softly speak to them and say, think your prayer to God. Pray out of your heart. Go ahead. God understands your thoughts. And even if you're a sinner, you in your thoughts can think, God, forgive me of my sins and forgive me of my transgressions and save me. And He'll hear your thoughts and respond. When do we pray? Do we have a time to pray? Are we consistently in prayer in our lives? Are we about prayer? There has to be a will to pray. You know, we usually in our lives do what we want to do. I know in my house, 7 o'clock, Wheel of Fortune's coming on. Linda's going to be there. She wills to do that. And even when we're on the road, China, Peru, whatever, where's Wheel of Fortune? And we don't always get it. But we will to do what we want to do. How many of you are getting to the place where you're wanting to will food? Getting close to 12. Sunday. We're going out to eat. Where are you taking me today?
Where do you want to go? I sure hope fried chicken.
But we will to eat when we want to eat, to do what we want to do, to go where we want to go. In our willing of life, are we? Do we have a will to pray? To commune with God? To talk to Him? Is it in our hearts? Do we want to do it? Or is it, well, I've got to pray. Preacher said last Sunday, I've got to pray. So, God, here I am. Do we have that will, that desire to talk to God? Too many of us are wrapped up in our world. How many of you are busy people? Huh? Only half a dozen of us are busy? Betty, what are you busy about? I mean, just you and Harry. Taking care of him. We're busy. Doesn't matter how old we are. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. I've got. And after we get to the end of the day of all of our 24 hours, we take a look at it. We section it out. Where did prayer come? Was it set aside? Do we have it in our schedule? Do we have a place? Jesus said here, a closet is necessary. When you enter into your secret room, your secret closet, a private place deliberately chosen for you and God to get together. I remember Rosalie Adelsberger, pastor in a church in Zellinger, Pennsylvania, and when I was a little boy growing up, that's where we went to church on a Saturday night, every Saturday night. Down to Sister Rosalie's. Sister Rosalie pastored that church for about 50 years, I think it was. But she had her closet was a fence row out back of the church, down in the field. There was a great big honeysuckle vine. Grew up over that fence row. And she made a little area back in under that honeysuckle vine. And that's where she would take her Bible and she would go down there and pray. I had a lady, Sister Audley Rust, in my church on the Eastern Shore. Right down from her house was a grove of pine trees. And in the center of that pine trees, I visited that place. In the center of those pine trees was a chair. And Audley Rust would take her Bible and her pencil and her little pad, and down under the needles of that pines, she would go and talk to God. And God would give her messages, and she'd write them down. Some of the most beautiful poems you ever want to read. But that's where they talked with God. Where is our place? Where is the place? Edna Kahn had 12 children to take care of. You think one or two or three or four? How would you like to have 12? But every day Edna Kahn would say to her 12 kids, I'm going down into the basement where your daddy's study is. And I'm going to lock the stair door. And I am not to be interrupted, only in case of an emergency. And she'd go down those stairs. And there's where she and God got together. Oh, wow. I remember when I was selling magazines in Polk County, Tennessee. And I'd drive that 30-some miles from Cleveland, Tennessee, up along Lake Ocoee. And weaving and winding around up through the mountains and along the river and the lake. There I had some of the most blessed talks with my Jesus. Driving, I had to keep my eyes open because, you know, wasn't any guardrails. So I would watch and pray. That's what the Bible says, watch and pray. Where's your place? Where do you have set aside where you and God, and does God know you're coming? Bible said here, Jesus said, He is in secret. He's there in your closet waiting on the door to open. He's in your closet waiting for you to come in. He's just raring to talk to you. You know God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear your voice. God wants you to commune with Him. And so that's what he says. A place is necessary. A personal relationship with God. He is talking here about you and the Father getting together. You know, my dad lived next door to me over here on Bear Drive. And good man. Wonderful Christian. He loved to go visit people. He came to a place where he couldn't drive anymore. And he would ask me every now and then, would you have time to take me to see so-and-so? And I'd drive in there and I'd sit in the car and I'd wait. Sometimes, I've got to go to the hospital, Dad. I've got to go here. You know what today? I'd drop everything and anything if I had another opportunity to take Dad to visit somebody. This relationship we have with the Heavenly Father. I was fortunate to have a wonderful relationship with my dad. I know some of you sitting here, you don't have that. But I'm telling you what, you've got a father that loves you. You've got a dad in heaven that cares for you. He really wants to have relationship with you. He wants you to be with him. And Jesus is saying that you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to hear from you. He wants you and him to have fellowship together. And that comes through prayer. Jesus understood that. Listen to Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Can you see that picture? He didn't have a closet someplace. He went out into a solitary place and he prayed. Jesus wanted to talk to his Father. Hello? He had been up there with the Father, man, for eternity. Man, he was down here on the earth and he was doing the work of the Father here on the earth and going to give his life. But guess what? During his life here, he wanted to have relationship with his Heavenly Father. Mark 6:46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he all alone on the land. He wasn't bothered about the boat leaving. He wasn't bothered about what's coming on TV. You know, it used to be Sunday night, it was Bonanza.
Yeah.
You're too young. Bonanza. We can't come to church on Sunday night. Bonanza's on. Yeah, little Joe. Jesus didn't matter about the boat leaving. Didn't bother him. He'd gone to the mountain. I'm going to go up there and talk to my Father. This is important. This is more important than the little boat that's gone. And when he came down out of the mountain and it was close to midnight and he the little boat was way out there in the water, he said, well, no problem. He did walk right on top of the water. And then in Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. That was the life of Jesus. Why did he have to pray for God to encourage him? Or did he have to pray to be healed? What was he praying about? He just wanted to have communion with his Father, his Heavenly Father. Jesus points out here, the reason the believer prays in his private closet is because God sees in secret. And he says here that God knows what you have need of even before you get in there to talk to him. He knows I need a deeper and closer relationship with him. He knows I need to draw closer to him. And do you know what he said? If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Oh boy. Growing up, I was a flirt. If she was pretty, I had an eye problem. I found out it works. And I could wink at those girls and while they're sitting in church. It used to be, you know, we'd have church and these pretty girls would come. After church, I'd go out and sit in the car with one of them and she would leave. Then I'd go sit in another car with another one. A couple churches had basements. Kids, don't do what I did. Do what I say. But God knows what you have need of. He'll minister to your need. He knows ahead of time. And when you draw near to Him, He likes to come in and be with you. Now, how many of us want to really have a close relationship with Jesus? With the Father? How many of us want to have just a wonderful time of relationship? Don't you love relationships? Man, you heard Vicky bragging on Mom over here. Wow, isn't that wonderful? And talking about Penny and Pam, they don't anybody mess with the Fry family. We tell you what, you're in trouble. Isn't it good when somebody slips their arms around you and pulls you up close? Oh. What God wants to do with us. That's His desire. But we have to have the right motive. And that is to draw near to Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. God wants to bless you. He wants to have fellowship with you. And it doesn't matter the age. I started praying at the altar when I wasn't tall enough to get my elbows on the altar. God doesn't matter. He brought the little children to Him, set them on His knee and said, "For such is the kingdom." He loves every age. He even loves teenagers. No mercy. Amen. He loved me when I was a teenager and I had communion with Him. There were times, I remember a time my parents had a one-room schoolhouse that they had bought and turned into a little chapel. I went down there as a teenager to pray. Get down on my face before God. And was talking to God, just me and God there. And I remember one day, one night, when I was there on my face talking to God as a teenager, that I felt the presence of God so strong that I was afraid to look up for fear He was standing right there. Doesn't matter what age, and you never get too old. God wants to have relationship. Every one of us. We have to have the right motive, and we have to set aside the time, have the will, the desire, the want to. And when you do, you're going to reap the results. Because He says, "I will supply."